All right. Let's just look to the Lord. Our Father, we do thank you for this beautiful conference, Lord. Thank you so much. We ask you to be with us right now, and I just want to pray for the Holy Spirit work through us now, and thank you so much. And I just want to pray for all the seminars right now. So please be with me and help everybody have a good time. So we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. This seminar has to do with the singing and practice of hymns and the theory of the hymn. And by way of theory, what I want to say to you is that I have seen in every place that I have visited to try to help assemblies with their music that the Lord has already done the work. He has already gone there. And that's how I know this will be of the Lord's will. So as I go into this, I want to share with you that singing in four parts is what we do. But the motivation is not really just singing in four parts. The motivation really has to do with, are we doing what we really know to do in an excellent way? So what I'd ask you to do is think about, on a Sunday morning, when you folks get together to worship the Lord, I guess the question you have to ask yourself is, are you excited? Are you privileged? Are you happy with the way the hymns are going every Sunday? And, you know, if the answer is no, well, then I can help you, okay? And that's what this seminar is about, because I have a pitch pipe here, and I'm going to talk about this pitch pipe. This can help you. I also have a special hymn book here, and I have 10 of these, and I'm going to talk about this also. Basically, if you are not happy with the hymns that are being sung on a Sunday morning, I can tell you back in Waterbury, we got together one time, the elders, and we talked about what we do. Are we doing it excellently? And we tried to look at all facets of the ministries and everything that we do. And one of the brothers said, you know, on Sunday morning, when we sing some of the hymns, some people say, boy, that's really boring, or that's like a funeral dirge, or why is that so slow, or can't we sing anything better? And one brother said to me, you know, when we collectively worship the Lord, and we say, Lord, this hymn's for you, imagine some of the responses to that hymn is negative, or, and that's what we're offering to the Lord. When that brother said that to me, I thought, you know what, we need to do a lot better with the hymns on a Sunday morning. So really, when we think of hymns, it is really, first of all, you need a good textbook, obviously. We like this hymn book here, the Black Book. You know, you think of the Lord, he says, worship in spirit and truth. You want a textbook that's going to help you do that. And so, hence the Black Book. That's why we use the Black Book. This is not the only book, folks, for sure. There's lots of books. There's lots of great hymns, not just in the Black Book. But for our cause, we're going to go through some of the hymns in this book here. Okay? So, the other thing I want to tell you is that in your assemblies, I already know that if the Lord lays it on your heart that you would like to see better hymn singing, especially on the Lord's morning, at the Lord's Supper, then I can tell you that this is the right seminar for you. I've done a few helps for saints because I have that in my heart that the Lord would have us to do this. It's a matter of principle. It's not a matter of tradition. You know, if you think about tradition are things that we do for so long, but really, tradition is not what we're after. We're really after principle. And so, with this Black Book here, what I've done is, in order for you to be successful, to want to sing in four parts, there are some things that have to happen. Okay? One of the things that really needs to happen is you need to have a few people who are willing to make a sacrifice. Now, I know that not everyone in the assembly will jump on and say, we all need to do this right away. But if you find a few folks who will begin this process, then you can be successful. I could also tell you that in every assembly I've ever been, and I think I've visited maybe 6 or 7 or maybe a couple more than that, in every assembly the Lord has already planted people there to help in this whole process of trying to sing in four parts. So whatever your situation is, wherever you are, if you would like to have hymns sung correctly, and appropriately, and I think in a way that God would say, amen, that's the way it would be, then that's what I'd like to try to help you to do. So, in your hymn books, if you open them, obviously there's notes, etc. This hymn book, I have five of them for this class. Basically, I'm going to give five to whoever would be interested in this hymn book. This hymn book I have, I took a red pen, and what I did was I wrote down the beginning pitches to each of the hymns in this book. So if you'd open up to number one, for example, you would have all the correct pitches right here in each of the hymns, all 350. And then I just put this thing on here as a little tag, just so you know this is a special book. This is not the book you put in the pile. You keep this separate. Okay? The reason I did this, because one of the biggest complaints about hymn singing is that when you have a prominent brother, let's say, who's a bass, who will stand up and he'll start the hymn, right away you know where he's going to start that hymn, in his own God-given range, which is the bass. Now think about the sisters, the higher ranges, the tenors, and everybody else trying to sing those parts. You realize when he sings his part, you lose, really, pretty much all the female singers, the higher voices, the soprano and the alto. You lose that. So, with the pitches that are written in this book, the reason those pitches are there is because of this use of the pitch pipe. Now, not every assembly, you know, will use a pitch pipe. Some will use pianos, some will use guitars, whatever you have to ensure that you start in the right place. That's the most important thing. Now, if you've ever sung a hymn that's too high or too low, that's simply because you're not singing it in the correct position where it's supposed to be. These hymns were all written with an understanding of four-part writing. And if I were to give you a composition class, I would explain to you some of the rules of writing. And I could tell you that all these hymns pass the rules of writing. No part is written too high or too low for any part. So if you're a tenor, you don't have to worry about a part that's so low in the bass, you say, that note's impossible. Okay? That never happens. But humanly speaking, if we try to start these pitches based on our own minds without any understanding where that pitch is, you can see there could be disaster. You could start in the wrong place. So, with the pitch pipe, I have five of them. What I'm going to do is just going to pass these around. Groups are using these pitch pipes basically to start the hymn. Now, in order to start the hymn in the correct place, you look at the marks that I have in this book, and I will pass around and show it to you, and you correlate it to this pitch pipe. On this pitch pipe, there are alphabet names going from C all the way to C, and all the notes in between. If I opened up to number whatever, and I saw the top note was an A, I could go to this pitch pipe, and I could put my hand on A, and I could blow that note. That's the correct pitch for this specific hymn. Now, once you get the right placement of where the hymn is supposed to be sung, now you have the opportunity to do it in four parts. If you don't get the right pitch in the right place, you will not be able to achieve four parts. So, I'm going to pass this book around. I have five of them. Just take a look at it. At the end of the seminar, if there are five different assemblies that are represented here, I would give one of these to five different groups with a pitch pipe. So I'm going to pass this around.
I'll take one here. Three, four. Just look through it and you'll see, because I'm going to talk to you
how we do it. So you can kind of just skip around and just pass those out. And then if you would take a pitch pipe and just pass a pitch pipe around. Okay?
Just take it out of the thing.
Yeah, just take it right out of that plastic. There should be a few of them, so just pass them right down, and whoever would like one. We're going to do a little bit of a practice on the pitch pipe. Okay, pass those down. Yeah, and just open them up, take it right out of the case. Okay? And we're going to do a little bit of a practice of the pitch pipe. Now, the other thing I want you to know, you have been seeing these. You've been passing these around. Okay. These CDs are from this book. And basically what we did, and again, this is a help for you folks. We took 23 of the hymns out of the black book, and on these CDs, we put them in soprano, alto, tenor, and bass parts. Which means if you're an alto, you would find out which hymn you wanted to learn your own part alto, and you would see it's on the second CD. Let's say Emmanuel's Land, which is number 105. You would take the second CD, and it tells you which track your alto line is. You would listen just to the alto line of number 105. That's what this is about. So if you're in your assembly, if they decided to take on and try to learn some hymns, then this is a very valuable tool. Because if you don't, let's say, have a pianist who can play the notes, you don't need one. You have the part sung right on these CDs. Okay? So I'm going to pass, if you have one of these, then just take it out for a second. If you don't have it, don't worry. But I want everybody just to take a look at these so I can show you how to use these CDs. So I'm going to pass these around. Yes, that would help, actually. If you have a laptop, we could just display it. Here you go.
Just take one of those and pass them up there.
On the back, it gives a little bit of an explanation of how you would actually use these. Okay? It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, enclosed are the CDs for each part, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. Please feel free to copy these as the Lord will. There's no cost of any kind. You copy it as many as you need. They are designed to help each person learn their own part." Now, when you have a CD like this, when you have a book that has all the pitches and you have a pitch pipe, now you can start to work at singing four parts. You have some tools to do it. Remember, this is a tool for a greater purpose. This is not worship, but this is a tool to help you worship. And it's based on spirit and truth. The Lord says He wants worshipers with spirit and truth. So you want to make sure you have a good textbook that will do that. This does. So as we learn hymns out of this book, you realize now the Holy Spirit has access to a tool to help us worship. And if you do it correctly, you will see less problems, for example, with youth. I know in Waterbury, we had a bunch of high school kids around a table every Monday night for year after year, 5 or 6 years, every week. These kids would sing out of this black book. I never heard one, my wife will even attest, I never heard one kid say, "I get to sing a black book. These hymns are so old." I never heard one time that those kind of things. Because when we sang them, when you put them in their four parts, they're so beautiful that even the young ones, it grabs them. Also, if you want to pull those kids into a ministry, singing is really a ministry. If you can pull them in, if they can find out where their voice is at, and they become part of what you do on Sunday morning, well, that's also a great thing. I know I've said to kids in the past, you weren't there on Sunday, your part was sorely missed. Just want you to know that. And he kind of looked at me and said, "You think it was really important that I would be there?" I said, "Absolutely. You're part of it. That's part of what we do, you know?" Okay. So, now these CDs, if you just look at them, I just want to make sure you all understand how would you use these. The tracks are for your learning. Now, what constitutes a soprano and alto? I'll just give you a brief, quick definition. If you're a soprano, you can sing the high notes, and you struggle with the lower female notes. If you're an alto, you can sing the lower female part, but you really struggle with the high notes. That's how basically you know which part you are. Tenors and basses, that's the two male parts. The basses, they can't go very high in the male range. And they can go pretty low. Those are basses. The ones who are tenors can't go very low, but they like to go a little higher. Now, that's generally the four different parts.
Okay?
And the hymns are all written in those kind of four parts. Soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. Okay. So, that's just a regular... Thank you. All right. Now, somebody who has that book, one of the books that I wrote in, I would like you to turn to number 105. If you'd all turn to number 105, Emmanuel's Land. I'm going to do the first one, and then you folks are going to take over from there. All right? If you look at number 105, you'll see those of you who have a book that's written in red letters. Can somebody tell me what the top one says? Anybody? A. What's the one below it? And what's the one below that one? Right? And one below that one. Good. So on the pitch pipe, whoever has a pitch pipe, what I would do is I would take my finger. There's an A right there. I would take my finger and I would put it on the hole before it and after it and only leave that whole A open. Like that. If you have a pitch pipe, put two fingers, one on this side of the A and one on that side of the A, so that only the A in the middle of your two fingers is there. And then, blow an A. If you can blow an A, please do it. Good. Now, on a Sunday morning, if someone called with him, I or another brother would stand and do, and all the sopranos would say, Now it's registered in their head what note they're going to start on. Then we start the hymn. Now we are assured that we started in the right place. Okay? That's what this does and that book does. You want to start in the right place. That's the first battle you have to win. If you have strong brothers in your meeting that want to lead that music, try to put a pitch pipe or a piano, or they can do a note on the piano, but try to get them to start it right where it should be, according to the hymn itself. It'll save you lots of problems down the road. Okay? All right. So, Emmanuel's Land. Now, I need to know who the sopranos are. So, who thinks they're a soprano? Just raise your hand. All right. We have two ladies over here who are sopranos. All right. Who thinks they're altos? All right. Can I have... We're going to have to move a little bit. Can I have the two sopranos come sit over here? And the altos and on this side over here? I'm sorry, now you're going to jumble everything around. But we have to do that because in order to sing these parts, I'm going to put you together where you should be. So if you're a soprano, you sit on this side. You're an alto, you sit on this side. If you're a tenor, who thinks you're a tenor?
Do you want us to sit here or ask these brothers to move?
You might ask these brothers just to move down a couple because they're going to have to move anyway. All right, the tenors, I'd like you tenors on this side over here, right next to the altos, but behind the altos. And then basses, who are you? All right, basses, you brothers get on that side over there. So now everybody should have a part. Is there anybody in this room who does not know what they are?
I know. How do I know what I am?
Okay. If you could sing really low notes, then most likely you're a bass. If you can't hit some low notes, but you can sing a little bit higher, you're probably a tenor. What I would say to you is start with the tenor, and if it's too high for you, then go to the bass. All right. So, folks, let me just reiterate. If on a Sunday morning you take a look at the worship and you say, these hymns, we need to do better for the Lord. Folks, what the process we're doing now, you want, I could tell you, that if it's your goal to please the Lord Jesus, you would like to sing these hymns to Him, and you would like Him to say, that was like a sweet-smelling savor to me. That reminds me of my Son. I could tell you, if you struggle with harmony, the Lord loves harmony. Look at all of you. You all have different voices. If you didn't have different voices, you could say, God does not like harmony. But because you're all different, you all have different voices, He must love harmony. Matthew 18:19 says, if you agree, that word agree is the word symphoneo, where we get our English word symphony. Think of the symphony if it was all clarinets. You would say, boring after a while, right? The symphony has many different instruments, one goal. Well, we are the body of Christ, many different believers, but one. So it's the same thing. So when we talk about harmony, I know I've been places where they thought harmony was a sin. But if you just look at the people, you realize he must love harmony because we're all so different. As a matter of fact, you could be a soprano. Everyone in this room could be a soprano, and yet you all sing, have a different voice. God loves harmony. So with that in mind, we're going to attempt to learn Emmanuel's Land. Okay? I picked this one because I think we know this one. I want to start with one that we know. Then we're going to gradually move on to one that I think you've never heard before, if time allows. Okay? So, the sopranos, we're going to start with you, and we're just going to have you sing a little bit, okay? All right. All right, here we go. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's Land. Good, that's the soprano part, and that is started right on the perfect right pitch, according to this, and the book that you have. Okay, now we're going to do the alto part. Can somebody tell me the name of the note for the alto? F. And somebody with a pitch pipe, can you blow for me an F? Again, you find F. The easiest, this is what I do. I find F, and I put my finger on both sides of F so that I can't do this. All right? So there's only one hole that's open, F. Now, be careful of your fingers. If your fingers are on the hole, you're not going to get them. So go ahead and give me an F, somebody. There it is. That's a nice, strong F. Oh, that's the alto part. Let's try the alto part.
Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well.
Ah, yes. You guys are doing the soprano part. You guys are doing the soprano part. Now, I'm going to, those of you who know the alto part, you sing it. Those of you who aren't sure, just listen the first time. Okay? I'll do it with you.
Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love.
Yep.
The streams on earth I tasted, more deep I'll drink above.
Good.
There to an ocean fullness His mercy doth expand.
Good.
And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's Land.
Good. Now on the CD, there's a track that has just that alto part that you just heard. Now, yes, can we hear it? Here it is. Okay. Now, if you had that CD, That's the second verse. But if you had that CD and you were able to play it, you could see how you could learn that part. Right? Okay. That's the first step, to learn your own part. Now, the second step would be you have to schedule time to practice it. Now, if you have more than one in your group, more than one alto, more than one soprano, you can support each other in those. It's very difficult if there's only one alto and one soprano. You have nobody to support you. But again, most of the time, in every place I've been to, there are a few in each group that begin to support each other and learn these parts. You take a prayer meeting or take a Saturday morning or Saturday night. I know one brother was telling me every other week they schedule a hymn practice. It's a sacrifice, and it's required of a sacrifice if you're going to do something like this. You can't get out of that. But I could tell you, a sacrifice just to do it, who wants to do that? A sacrifice for principle, for something of that nature, that's worth a sacrifice. This would be worth a sacrifice if you could achieve this. I know in Waterbury, we have found it invaluable. There are times when, and I know I was talking to a brother from Kansas who said he can hardly sing sometimes because there's tears rolling down his eyes. That's an overflow of the heart. And this is a tool to help us in that way. Okay? Now we're going to try and put both parts together. So, I need somebody below the A, and I need somebody below the F on your pitch pipe. So, somebody on this side here, below an A. That's your note. And somebody on this side, below an F. Let's try both parts now. One, two, three.
Oh, Christ is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love, the streams on earth are tasted, for defiled drink above.
Good. Now, there's two parts right there, okay? Now, let's go for the third part, and we'll pick on the tenors, all right? Let's see. Where are the tenors? They're on this side, okay? Would one of you brothers or sisters, whoever has a pitch pipe, would you blow the third note down? What note is that? Yes. So. Yep. There are two C's. Good question. One is a lower C, and one is a higher C. If you, for example, blow both the C's, and you'll see the difference. They're both the same note. One's higher, and one's lower. Right, it's lower. Now, when you, one of the things about the pitch pipe is because they have octaves, which simply means in your range, you could sing a C. In her range, she could also sing a C. It's the same note, but one's higher and one's lower. You just have to get to know which one is higher or lower. It doesn't matter which C you blow. It's still the same note. If I did this, it's still the same tenor note. It's lower versus this one, which is the same thing. It's the same. So if I was blowing the pitch pipe, I probably would want to blow the lower one. But if I blew the upper one, it doesn't matter. It's the same note. They're going to sing in their range. They can't sing it in their soprano range. They can't do it. So naturally, they're going to sing it in that range. All right? So play that C for me one more time. Oh, that's the tenor part right there. I'm going to sing the tenor with you. So those of you who sing tenor, try to find this part with me. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness, His mercy doth in Emmanuel's land. One more time with the tenors, okay? Good. Would you make that C again? Blow that C. Oh, here we go. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love, the streams on earth I tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Let's try all three parts now, see what happens. Okay? Somebody on this side, would you blow an A? One of the ladies, would you blow an F? And one of the brothers, would you blow a C?
A.
There's the A. Oh. Can I hear all the three parts? Just sing the O and hold it. Go ahead. Oh. There it is. Okay. Now let's try to sing your part. No bass yet. Oh, oh, oh. One, two, three. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I taste, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. So, in order to achieve three parts so far, all I've done was blow the pitch pipe, look at the part. You have the part already on the CD, so you have already spent time listening to your own part. There's four or five altos here. If we put them in a quarters and learn your part, they could do it because they've heard it, they know it, they have a pitch pipe, they can start it, right? So each part now can learn their own part. So you see how this can happen. All right, now we're going to do the last part, the fourth part. Once they do the bass part, then I'm going to tell each of you, just concentrate on your own part. Sing your own part, and now you have four parts. And that's it. That's the whole process of singing in four parts. Okay? So now we're on the bass part. So I need one of the brothers in that corner over there to give me the bass note. What is the bass note?
F.
F. Right. There's the F. Oh, there's your part. All right, listen to the bass part. If you know it, if you can sing it with me, go right ahead. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness, His mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Now that last note is very low. What would happen if a bass started it? Would you brothers be able to sing that pitch? It would be out there somewhere in ozone park. You'd never be able to hit that note. That's why this is a very valuable tool. Some people have said to me, we can't use a pitch pipe, they won't let us, but we could use a piano. Folks, the piano has an F on it, it has a C on it, and an A, and an F. You could do it on a piano too. Somebody has a guitar, play an F, ding, play C, doing, play A, doing. I mean, you can do it. However you do it, this is just convenient. It's small. Any brother can have one of these. You can, if I'm not there this week, I just pass it to another brother. I give a book and say, you start the pitch. Nobody has to worry about it. Yes.
This is going to sound like a stupid question.
No, it's not a dumb question.
Now you're going to start a hymn, and there's four parts. Are there four people that are going to use a pitch pipe?
No.
Okay, so
this is the process. It's a good question.
Okay.
Now that we've learned all four parts,
okay.
This is, now again, the whole idea is we want the product to be much better than it was before. That's why we're doing it. Okay? So blowing the pitch pipe, and asking people to say, so they get their note. The Lord, I think, bears with that. But when we actually sing the hymn, and we all say, amen to that hymn, that's the part he looks at. So I say that because now what I'm going to explain to you is, this is what I would do, and this is what I've done. For a little while, it only happens for a little while, and I'll tell you why. As you learn your own parts, after a little while, you're going to start to hear your own parts. That's what happens. In these hymns, like the alto part, as soon as I blow an A, they're already thinking, oh, Christ, he is. It's already in their mind to do that. They're not thinking the melody, but the sopranos are thinking the melody. It's a process that happens. The more they know their part, after a while, I won't even have to blow their note. They'll already know it. But to start, this is what I would do. Sopranos. Alto, tenors, or and basses. Here we go. Oh, Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love, the streams on earth I tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness, there worth he doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth. Now, there's four parts right there. Now, that process is a very simple process, isn't it? It's not really a difficult one. Now, what difficulties can happen in a situation like this would be this. One of the difficulties is if you have a very strong person vocally, what they'll do is they'll take over the pitch, which sometimes won't be based on the book. And so when you have a strong brother who wants to lead, that can be a problem. Again, you're trying to achieve a harmony. You're not trying to achieve a solo. You're trying to achieve a harmony. You want it to be like a oneness in harmony. And that's what we're trying to express. So to that brother, you just have to say, please be careful when you're singing. Step back. One of the evidences that we are really singing in four part and it's really coming together is if you can hear your own self, then you're too loud. Once you soften up a little bit and you can't hear yourself, all of a sudden you hear everybody around you. As you hear everybody around you, now you're in the right place. It's just like that in the Christian life, isn't it, really? Pride says it's about me. But as soon as I step back, it's not about me, it's about others. It's the same thing in singing. So as you try to, with your brothers and sisters, try to get a four-part, take a little step back and see if you can hear the whole group. Now, that's an exercise, and that takes a little time. But practice is the key. So practice with the pitch pipe, and that's important. What's nice about the pitch pipe and those books is, first of all, are there any music majors in this class? Did anybody go to school for music? You did. One. Good. Anybody else is a music major?
Well, not a major, but
you had some
got a lot of bands.
Good. And I'll tell you why that's wonderful, because I know the Lord has already prepared hearts like yours to take on the responsibility in doing something like this. Because that's what it takes. One or two in an assembly who have a little bit of a background who can get this started. Question.
Yeah. Have you ever had any difficulty with what is called morning voice?
Yes.
Okay. Where since the breaking of bread service is generally the first service in the morning, people aren't really warmed up, and consequently voices tend to be a little bit lower, maybe, and a little more difficult to hit the higher notes if
yep.
you're having problems with that.
Actually, I haven't seen too many problems with that, only because your voice will change according to where it's at. When you start to sing in the morning, in the early morning, I teach in a public high school, and I have a vocal class that meets at 7:40 every morning. Okay? For the first week, I tell them, this is kind of early. Don't worry about it. Your voices will adjust. And after a week, the sopranos are singing high F, the alto at 7:30 in the morning. So, yes, generally, when you first wake up, your body is tired, your voices are tired, you're not there. But by the time you put your clothes on and have a little breakfast and you're out the door, I don't think, you know, if you have allergies or sickness, yes, that can certainly, but, you know, your voice will adjust in time. So, yes.
There's something in the Black Hymn Book that here at Charles Road we sing incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely incorrectly, but, you know, there'll be a timing thing. You always sing it that way. And every time I sing it, I think, well, that's wrong. And then I say to myself, that's just our way of singing. But then I argue with myself, you really should sing it the way it's written.
You really should do it the way it's written. And I'll tell you, there are hymns that we sing incorrectly. What I would say to you, you seem to have a little bit of knowledge on that. You might be a brother in a position at some point to say, let's look at this hymn for a second. We always sing it wrong over here. Can we just try it this way?
During the meeting?
No. No. No, you have to have a time where you can rehearse these. You have to pick in your own assembly a time where you can come together and practice hymns. I wouldn't attempt to do this on a Sunday morning until you had a couple of practices around the table, some coffee, get a couple of hymns. You know, one group, I know what they did was they took the CD and they said, all right, for next Sunday, take Come Thou Fount. We're going to do Come Thou Fount. Sopranos, here's your CD. Who's with the sopranos? And they mass-produced CDs for all the sopranos. It was actually tapes at that time. But all the sopranos got tapes, the altos, everybody in the group got a tape. And then a Saturday afternoon, during their prayer time, they entered the prayer time, and they said, now we're going to have a hymn rehearsal. Alto, sing your part. They had a little keyboard, and one of the guys in there knew how to start the note. He didn't have a pitch pipe. He started the pitch, and they sang their part. Okay, sopranos, you do yours now. And he gave him the pitch. He wasn't very much of any kind of a musician, but he knew just enough to say, start your pitch. Here's where you start. Now go ahead and sing it. He didn't have to teach it to them because they already learned it. And he did the same thing. So practice. This requires sacrifice. I could tell you this will not come without sacrifice. But anything you do for the Lord, any kind of service you do, is a sacrifice. If you want to see change, it's going to be a sacrifice. Change just for change course, don't do it. But change can make it better. That's worth the sacrifice. So I would say, spend some time, pick a prayer time, a prayer meeting, fellowship time, other times. And as you do that, as you start to see that you could do it in four parts, then when that hymn is called, you might only sing one hymn for the first 3 months in four parts. Well, you're making a step, you're making a sacrifice, you're working at it little by little, and as time goes, your group will always sing in four parts. Now, if you
follow up on that.
Sure.
Suppose we do what you say, and we have our 8 or 10 people and we sort of practice on a Saturday Saturday afternoon. Now, on Sunday morning, someone calls out that 10 that we've always sung wrong, that 8 or 10 of us know how to sing it correctly now. Do we just sort of bowl our way through the correct version?
No.
How do we get it? How do we get everybody singing it correctly?
The next one.
8 or 10, 12 people, if you all know it, okay, in our assembly, we have a worship time, then we have bagels and coffee, and then we have a teaching time. I will use the teaching before the teaching time. There's like a 20-minute block. I'll say, everybody take out your hymn books, and there's a hymn that we learned. Get the 8 people and say, just listen, just
after
listen.
After
the breaking of bread. So, now, if you have really good attendance to your prayer meetings, you meet in a home or at the chapel, that's another time to say, we want you brothers just to listen to this. We learned this this way. We want all of us to try this. Listen. And then do it. Okay? All right. Any other questions? Yes?
Now, to be totally music illiterate, you can't read a note, you can still learn to do your part by just listening?
You know what? If the Lord required us to be worshipers with music,
right,
and He wanted to use music, God only knows that if you had to be someone literate to read the music, the language, well, how many of us have time to do that? There's a system called rote.
Yes.
And the way we learn these hymns is by rote. That is, I sing it to you, you sing it to me. I sing it to you, you sing it to me. After 4 or 5 times, you sing it by yourself. You've learned it. If you can't read English, then we have to work on that. You can read. You know what I mean? That's not the issue.
No.
It's the music notes.
Right? Yeah.
So if I sing it to you, there's never a time that you have to learn it.
You can hear it and you can learn it.
Now, in your assembly, there are some very talented musicians who, if you said, I don't know the alto part, could you just plunk it on the piano for me? I know many would do it. But you have it here, too. So you took a CD and just learned your part. After about 10 minutes, you would know it. Matter of fact, on Sunday morning, if somebody called it and started in the wrong key, you would start to hear your own part. You might even be confused and say, I can't even sing the soprano anymore, because your brain is now hearing something else. See? Tradition, I know a brother who will sing only the soprano part because that's where he feels comfortable, but he's really a tenor. There was a brother who said, I can't ever sing the hymns. I says, why? He said, because I can't read music. I said, just try this. And I plunked the part out. He sang it. His whole face lit up. He says, I could sing that. I said, well, that's the right part. You're supposed to sing that. Well, for 20 years, he never knew that. Once he found out where his voice was, he said, I can be part of this? I tell you, he was so tickled pink that I couldn't believe. Just because he could sing those parts. For him, it was a frustration. For 20 years, he could not sing the hymn. As hard as he tried, he said, I can't do it. He says, you're looking at something that's impossible.
So anybody who is starting hymns, would be the men, all hymns should be started with what you're saying, tenor or the bass.
No, actually, contrary to that, all the hymns need to be started in the range of the hymn. The range of the hymn, there's 4 parts, not just tenor and bass. That's only half your choir. That's only half of the body. You have soprano and alto. The main melody is always in the soprano part.
Right.
So that part needs to be correct. If you have the soprano singing in the right place, that's the main part of the song, then you'll always be able to achieve what's right. If you start with the tenor and make that the melody line, now you are out of balance. You can't sing those in 4 parts. The women's voices will be either way too high to grab the part or way too low to grab the part. So that's why this pitch pipe and starting the hymns as they're written in this book will never get you out of whack in terms of where you start those pitches.
But the person who's actually starting with him, the brother who's starting, maybe he should start with the melody line that first
few notes. They always start the melody.
You start with the melody line, and then you move into the bass.
You always start with the soprano first.
Yeah,
when we started, we said, I'm going to start with the alto. But you're absolutely right. Each hymn, The top note is the soprano, then the alto, then the tenor and the bass. Now, eventually, if you folks spend time in practice, you'll only have to blow one note and everybody will know their part. You will not have to blow all four parts. Now, if your assembly is understanding of that and your leadership is okay with it, to start for the first 3 months, I would say to them, this is what I would do. I would go to the elders and say, for the first 3 months, we're gonna try to sing these hymns, but I need to start all four parts just for a few months as we learn it. After a while, I won't have to do that anymore. I just blow one note, and everybody knows their pitch. But to start, it's hard. And if they said, it's okay, the Lord is not looking, this is not entertainment. We're trying to make a product for the Lord Jesus. We are really endeavoring to do this for him. It's part of worship. That's why we're doing this. It's not for entertainment or something. So if they're okay with that, then you start with the four. Here's the soprano. Here's the alto. And I would say that. Here's the alto. Here's the tenor. And here's the bass. Now, the next week, I wouldn't say, here's the soprano, because once you say it once or twice, now, and they understand, you know, you do it one at a time, you're always going to soprano first. And that's how you would do it, yeah. So in time, in a very short time, all I would have to do is say, Emmanuel's Land, somebody calls on a Sunday, and I do this. Oh, 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 oh. You already know your part, we could sing it. That's what happens over time. So, any other questions about that so far?
Obviously, concerned that a lot of people that come to the conference here really enjoy the
yes.
How do you encourage people? I mean, probably singing is really a reflection of our spiritual condition. Said when the revivals were in Toronto under Moody, people left the meeting just singing spontaneously down the street to the end. It's not real. It's always the song that we keep in mind. Never ever.
That is the truth.
And so for stronger than after this Christian. But how do you encourage people to seem to motivate them if you want to the wise? And I'll just speak for my own example. We have a lot of good people that a lot of people just don't think. You know, they just sit there. They just don't open their mouth. I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yes. You know, I would tell you that if you begin the process, you'll start to understand why the folks aren't singing. One assembly, there were many who weren't singing because, as I said before, they had a prominent brother who always started the hymn, and he just couldn't find his part. So for 20 years, he just couldn't find it. You know who the brother is. So it's really, you'd have to take a look at the assembly and understand why it's not happening. I could tell you that in some places, they would sing these black book hymns like funeral dirges. Literally like funeral dirges. So slow. Now, dragging is a critical thing. Slow, worshipful singing is not a critical. That's good. That's very spontaneous and wonderful. But dragging a hymn kills the spirit. And to me, that just, it's the opposite of an overflow. It's the opposite. It's the death of the overflow. So, yes.
I think a lot of times the reason people don't sing is that they just don't think they can.
Yes.
And so, you know, using something like this to teach and to encourage should help in a situation like that.
The CD I have found, I've asked others when they've used tapes if it helped, and they said yes, because I can go privately without being embarrassed in my own closet and try to sing the part. And as I discover I can do it, then I'm a little bit more at ease with getting with other altos or sopranos and trying it. There's a risk, you know, in doing this. You know, there's things that will happen. But I could tell you that if you're able to start the process, if you find that you have freedom to try and do this, the Lord will reward you for it. Because it's really something he wants. this book, the hymns in here are written by brethren that we all know. I mean, I don't even have to tell you. There's chock full of inspired hymns, worshipful, that I know the Lord is pleased with. And there are the Red Book, too. There's beautiful hymns in there. So we have the wealth. We have it right here. The problem is we've just not been doing it the way it's been written, not doing it correctly. So if you feel in your assembly, you know, as you inspect the worship, and I think 1 Corinthians 11 allows us to do that, judge yourselves before you come to the Lord's table. But even further than that, what are you offering the Lord? Look at that. Make sure it's good. It's, you know, you want to offer the best you can for the one who you love. And so it's very honoring then to sing it the way it was written to him, because it will include all of your voices. No one is extinct from it. You all have the opportunity to do it now because it's in the right place. And with some practice and time, you will see a transformation of your worship time. It's not magic or anything. It's just an overflow of the heart. That's all it is. Yes?
From my own personal experience, I can maybe find my part pretty well until the person next to me is not singing either the notes that are written or they're completely off key, and then
yep.
If I don't try to sing the melodies, I'm just lost. Can't find a note anymore. How do we deal with, I mean, that's probably a
common problem. Well, it is. It's a good problem to have. As you get to know who are the altos in your assembly, right? Sometimes it will maybe dictate where you sit on a Sunday morning. At least for a little while. Now, I could tell you, there's a brother in our assembly. There's a brother in our assembly who's a bass. And whenever he sits next to me, he says, I can't sit next to you. Mm-hmm. I understand why. I'm singing tenor, and my tenor's going to confuse his bass. I always tell him, go sit next to Juan. Because Juan, a fellow in our assembly, has a very strong bass. If he sits right next to him, he's right on. Now, again, if I'm trying to learn my parts, then you have to do what you have to do to get that in there. Because eventually, you could sit next to anybody and sing your part. But while it's not fresh in there, you need the support of other altos. You need to stay away from certain voices that will confuse you. Do that.
But if they're off key, that's the real issue.
How do you deal with off key? There's two ways to deal with someone who's singing off key. Most of the time, you know, I've been to an assembly where they said, that person's tone deaf. And you know what? That's not true at all. There's hardly, maybe 2% of the people on the planet Earth, I think, are really tone deaf. There's not that many. People who sing out of key, that's because they just don't know their part. They're unschooled a little bit, and they just need a little help. I wouldn't just hand that person a CD. I would have everybody in your assembly. I would listen. If I were to give this to you in steps, and I still have 5 minutes here, because a quarter after so we stop. If I had to do this in steps, this is what you would do. You would go to your assembly with this and say, listen, we'd like to try to do some time and sing in four parts. We'll pick a prayer meeting or a fellowship time or some Saturday morning, some of the saints will get together and we're going to sing. But here's Come Thou Fount. So if we can get the guy who mass produces the CDs in your assembly, do you have somebody that does that? That can make CDs? Blank CDs? All right, so you get some blank CDs, you copy this disc, and you tell everybody, listen, on Wednesday night, for the prayer time, we're gonna try to go through Come Thou Fount. So make sure you all learn your parts. Everybody has their own CDs. They all go home and do it. When you come together, somebody needs to have a pitch pipe and a book, one of these books. All right, take out 105. We're going to sing it now all the way through, folks, before you leave. I was hoping to get you a couple more hymns, but that's all right. You have some good questions? Yes.
I don't know what I think, but you with tenor and bass, it would teach you to sing bass, sir. Would that be...
then you go sit on that side over there with the bass.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, it's a great thing once you find the voice God gave you.
I was in a Baptist church one time, and they would move me all around. Fun, huh?
Most of us would take for granted that, you know your pitch, you know your part. But I want you to think about it. God gave you a specific voice. He didn't give your voice to any other person. He gave it only to you, and He wants you to use it to worship Him. So it is a great, great thing if you find out where God put your voice, where He intended you to be in this. And once you find that, I'm telling you, it's a great thing. So, to close our little seminar, does anybody have any other questions? Thank you, folks.
If you are basically a tenor or a bass, we're talking about the matter now, therefore, you really don't sing the melody.
No. Now, there are sometimes the tenor does have the melody. There are some.
Sometimes on their own, they have the melody.
Right. But the most important part is not even the soprano, the alto, or the tenor, or the bass. It's really the words. The soprano just happens to be the melody line, but the tenor is equally as important because without tenor, there's no harmony. God loves harmony, and if there's no tenor, then you're right. But because God loves harmony, your tenor part is precious to Him. And so if you sing the tenor and you're willing to do that and give up the melody to the lady, then it's a great thing. You've discovered something, what's called unity in harmony.
So, David, when you sing by yourself, do you always sing the bass?
No, it'll be a melody line. Yeah.
With a bass voice?
Yeah.
Right.
Not when I'm leading, when I'm singing in harmony, it's always bass.
Yeah.
Just one thing, we have some Black Car Mennonites, 500 of them under a tent. Women sit on one side, men sit on the other. The young ladies are in front, and the young men are in back. There's 500 of them. Women sing soprano and alto, men sing tenor and bass.
It must be a joyful note.
Unbelievable. They started with the pitch part. It's the best acapella singing.
Isn't it beautiful?
The group that I've ever heard.
Now, on a Sunday morning, can you imagine being around the table and singing those hymns that way? It will transform your worship. And it's not magic. It's just an overflow of your heart. When you sing those hymns in a way that just is beautiful, your heart will say, that's beautiful. Right? And it works that way. All right. We have 2 minutes. We have just enough to sing this hymn. So why don't we all stand? And what I would ask you is, I have to collect all the books and all the pitch pipes. If you would like a pitch pipe and a book, the book with the writing in it, please see me sometime after the seminar, and I'll make sure your assembly gets one. Now, I also want to say to any group here who's serious about wanting to do this, in the will of the Lord, my wife and I would come and help you because it's part of the ministry that we do. We visit other assemblies, and we're very glad to spend a day or two with you and go through this with the saints and work at it. So there are some in here who know that I've done that, and God willing, always, I would do that if there was an interest, a serious interest in that. Okay, so let's just do this. I'm not going to blow the pitch by you, but you guys blow it. So somebody give an A for the sopranos. Somebody give an F for the altos. A C for the tenor, and an F for the basses. Boom. All right. Can I just hear everybody saying O and hold it? Go ahead. Perfect. Here we go. Ready? And. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. There's an ocean full. Pitch pipe in a book later on this evening. I will give you one of these to take.